Have you ever wondered what women talk about when they go to the bathroom together? Well, you're about to find out. It's the See You Next Tuesday podcast with Leslie and the real live women in your area. Warning, this podcast has real live women in your area talking about sex, drugs, rock and roll. This podcast is not for the faint of heart or young children, and it's especially not for people without a sense of humor. In the event that a fact needs to be checked, ask your dad.
Get this going. It's a See You Next Tuesday podcast. I'm Leslie.
I'm Angela.
I'm Michelle.
And
I'm Margaret.
Margaret calling in because she has, what do you have? What's wrong with you? Are you sick?
I don't know. A cold, probably. My littlest one has it too. Her, like, we have boogies coming out of her eyes. Oh. I'm not bad now, but she is.
Oh. Well, it's better. Yeah, it's better to stay home than bring your germs here.
Well, I thought, well, this is all about sharing.
Sharing is caring, except for when you're sick.
Yeah, well, the corona was just recently shared with me, and I didn't appreciate it too much.
Aw.
But anyway, we have the option for you to dial in, which is great. So you're still with us.
Yeah.
All right, so this episode, to get started, I want to talk about mental health because, you guys, I've been going through it, like, a lot. I lost 3 cats in 2 months.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's a lot. Yeah.
That sucks. You know, my babies are old anyway, and it was their time. I get it. But dang, 1, 2, 3, just in succession.
Well, pets are family.
They
you
are.
Know?
Yeah. Some other things that's been bugging me is like my house. I can't afford to get it fixed, you know, and I'm just like bummed out because I can't get ahead in life on that.
I feel like everything's so expensive right now as well. Like, my taxes are so much more this year. Mm-hmm. And I feel like every time I go grocery shopping, even if I drop, like, you know, $200 and something, I get home and I'm unpacking it. And I'm like, this is all we got?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So expensive.
Oh, it's stupid. And eggs?
Oh, I know. Outrageous.
Like, what the hell? Eggs, of all things?
Yeah.
My God. Yeah,
all the memes and gifts about it.
Oh, I know. It's amazing, but I'm trying to have a hard-boiled egg for lunch, but nah, not for $5.
Right.
You know? But hey, Margaret, you have eggs, though. You have chickens, right?
I do.
And they lay eggs.
My eggs cost a lot, though. Do you know how much wood costs building that coop?
Yeah. I mean,
feed. I give them feed every day. Freeloaders. They don't give me an egg every day.
You're going to have to talk to them about
Rude.
That.
Rude.
So I was going to say, we can give chickens. You money for eggs.
Yeah, not here.
Aww.
Don't have enough, sorry.
Damn it.
When I had chickens, I felt like we got way too many eggs. We never could eat them.
It's not the right time of year.
Yeah, that's true.
Like 2 more months and I'll be like drowning in eggs.
Right. And then eggs won't be expensive anymore. So
exactly.
Yep. We'll see about that.
Right? Who knows?
But no, give us eggs, man. Whenever you get them, give us. I will definitely take some.
I will keep that in mind.
But as far as going back to the topic, because that's what we do. We always go off topic. So one thing I want to ask you guys is, do you have laundry basket depression? That's what I call it. And what that is you take your laundry out of the dryer, put it in the basket, and it lives there for the rest of its life. You know, you can't put it away. You can't bring yourself to actually do the chore. And it just sits there and you live out of your basket.
Yes, but I blame it on all the people in my home.
So, yeah, because you got kids.
Yeah, they're a bunch of jerks.
I kind of think in that, you know, guys, since you guys are moms, it's, you know, easy for you to put your stuff away. But me, dude, no. I literally cannot get myself to put my laundry away. And it's a thing.
That's okay. If it's a system that works for you, don't be so hard on yourself about it.
But it's not a system. It's a pile. It's a mountain that spills out onto the floor. And what do? I just step over it or on it, you know, whatever.
I don't really have that problem. Like, I don't have any problem, like, putting away laundry and stuff like that. But I do have these things that I call, like, doom boxes.
Yes.
Where,
yes.
Like, I'll have these activities or, you know, chores or lists of things to do. So, and I'll be busy, right? And so I'll put, like, a stack of bills and papers I need to go through and a million college things that are coming in for the kid that I'm like, this is too much for me. And I'll put them all like in little stacks or little containers and I call them doom boxes.
And they sit there forever.
And they sit there forever. And like some of them have to be addressed clearly, you know, but I will put off these probably to other people like basic tasks. Because it feels overwhelming to me. Mm-hmm. And what's so ridiculous is like if someone would just come and sit with me while I went through this doom box, I'd probably get it done in like less than 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But because no one is there and I don't want to do it, like I'd rather I'll find an excuse to steam clean the carpet before I will go through a doom box.
I think that's part of like, you know, you're like, well, I'm an adult now. I can do whatever I want. And if I don't want to deal with this, I'm not going to do it, you know?
Right.
So I think we pick and choose.
I think it's ADD.
Well, I definitely have that.
So. I definitely have that also. Yeah.
Yes.
TikTok has me thinking I'm autistic and all kinds of stuff.
Oh, we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that. Hold on. But going back to doom boxes, that is real.
It is real.
Because, you know, I've got so much craft things.
Yeah.
Angela, and I cannot. It's like it spawns.
Yeah.
It multiplies. It
yes.
has babies. And I don't know where any of this crap comes from, but I have it.
Oh, yeah.
Right. And I just want to get rid of it. But my idea is like, all right, let's just get a Tupperware, or not Tupperware, but those big rubber,
absolutely
Rubbermaid bins,
yeah,
cardboard box, a big one, whatever. Put four or five down, and like your dirty clothes is going to go in one box.
Yeah,
your craft supplies that's laying everywhere is going to go in one box. Your trash is going to go in one box, and it works in my mind. Okay, but I don't have room for that.
Right, right, but it's still sort of organized. Like right. they're in little piles where you know stuff.
Right.
is,
and then once you get it all filled up. You don't want to mess with it anymore, you know, and then it sits there for years.
Yeah. Well, I also become like really overwhelmed. Like I work my job all day and then my daughter like randomly is like, oh, I'm redoing my whole room and now I don't want all these things. And I'll just come out and like they'll be sitting on the kitchen table. Like it's now my fault or my problem that you don't want something. And so it goes into like a doom basket or whatever. And I set it to the side because I'm like, I cannot handle that right now. I just had, you know, a crazy busy day or I don't know. I do that a lot.
And then you're stepping over these doom boxes and it messes with your brain, or at least it does with me.
Yeah.
And then you're like, why can't I get this crap cleaned out?
Right.
You know?
You need a motivator. You need like someone that's going to be like, hey, I'm going to come over and.
Yeah.
Motivate you
or just somebody that would be like, hey, I'm gonna pop by your house in 45 minutes so that you like stress clean for 30 minutes and, like,
yeah.
deal with it, you know.
I just find a place to shove the doom box.
Yeah, I'm running out of doom box space.
Yeah.
Doom box.
Well, I have like three of them right now sitting on my bed. I put them up there and one of them I'm pretty sure is like all college stuff with like some weird makeup stuff that I need to go through that I threw in a bag on top. And then the other two are just piles of like all kinds of things that need to be addressed.
Mm-hmm.
And they're organized. I can like move those baskets, you know, and they're not very big. They're like the size of a notebook.
Mm-hmm.
They stay there. They'll be there for like 2 weeks or something.
So you guys want to hear what I did? So this is what I did, okay? And I hate myself to the max.
Don't say that.
No. Wait till you hear what happened.
Oh my gosh.
So I had my doom box system, right? My organization system at the time. And one of the boxes had trash filled up. And I'm like, all right, cool. Because I've been taking trips back and forth to the dumpster outside and whatever.
Yeah.
So I guess that I must have put a box of my dad's old photos.
Oh, no.
From his childhood, his school years, his family, you know, all that stuff. And so this was like from the 30s to 50s, you know.
Oh, no.
And had his birth certificate. It had all kinds of stuff that I totally want now, but I have a feeling that it was in that box. Because my dumbass decided to just, oh, I'm going to put it here and I'll come back to it later, right? And it probably just got buried. So when I took that box to throw it away, I remember standing there holding it and my brain's like, you need to check that. You need to check. I'm like, no, it's just trash. I literally had this conversation with my brain.
Yeah. Right.
I'm like, oh, it's just trash. There's nothing in there that I need. Because I thought it was maybe my hoarder mentality being like, you want all this stuff. You don't want to throw it away.
Right.
But nope, went to the trash can, dumped it all out, didn't think about it for X amount of months or whatever. And then I'm like, hey, I wonder about this picture of my dad. So I went to find it. It is nowhere.
Oh, no.
Nowhere to be found. And of course, I had a breakdown. And I'm like, I don't know what happened to it. There's no way that it's in the house anymore. I'm like, I must have thrown it away. My conscience probably was trying to warn me.
Yeah.
And I am so mad at myself.
We probably don't listen to our guts enough, you know, or like our inner thoughts enough. Because like I know, at least for me, I'll be doing something around the house and I'll be like, oh, I'm going to put this up here for safekeeping. And then my inner thought will be like, girl, you will not remember that weird spot. Do not put it there. But I'll put it there anyways. And then I'll feel sad about it later when I can't find it because I put it in such an obscure area to be safe. Like, what?
Right.
Getting old.
It's stupid. And you have to, like, make a memo to where you're going to see it. Like, put it by the toilet or something.
For real, like, I'm going to have to put air tags on everything.
God. But yeah, I'm still beating myself up over the fact that this box most likely got thrown away. Now, I'm still holding on to maybe like 0.1% of hope that it's in the house because everything is just strewn everywhere in my little art room, but it's got to be gone. So I hate myself to the max on that.
We'll put it out into the universe that it's just hiding somewhere.
Yeah, in the Springfield landfill.
Hey, maybe somebody stumbles across it. They're like really into genealogy. They figure out and they find you and they return it.
Why are you so positive?
I'm just saying. Anything is possible.
I mean, I appreciate it, but Jesus.
Anything is possible.
I feel like I can't anymore. I just can't, period.
Like... Like, do you just feel overwhelmed?
Yeah, I do. This is mostly at home because of the...
circumstances?
Yeah, because of the circumstances and all the crap and the fact that I can't live in a nice house and whatever. But it kind of overflows to work, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's kind of weird in a way that I'm so depressed and sad and whatever on the inside. But here I'm like, yeah... Let's be happy. Let's be chipper. Let's, you know, have my radio voice, you know, which, you know, fine, right? That's the job. But it's also, like, hard.
Yeah.
You know, and then I feel like I'm not doing anything right. And I feel so self-conscious and not confident. And I'm like, this is not the job for me. How in the hell did I even get this job? But, you know, it's hard for me to accept that I'm doing good at my job.
Mm-hmm. Because you're your own worst critic.
Is it the own worst critic or is it imposter syndrome?
It's you're your own worst critic, and also you care a lot and matters to you. And I can't speak for you, but I can tell you with my job that it matters to me if I do a good job. I was in my previous job 11 years.
Right.
So to be in a brand new role, be in a brand new role for 6 months and then switch a role again and start learning something else, you know, I specifically care because I've known my direct boss for 30 years, you know? And so I feel like if I fail in some way, I'm failing him or I'm failing all of us. And what I say and do matters. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes I'll feel a little depressed because not only am I working remotely and like not seeing people every day like I'm used to doing, I also feel like I can't be fun. Like I have to watch how I behave, you know. I can't make, I can joke a little, but like I should definitely, you know, reel people in sometimes. And I don't know, kind of makes me feel depressed. But I think I'm hypercritical because I care so much. I'm so new. Yeah. I'm a perfectionist. I want it to be awesome. And so it's really hard for me to check my thoughts. You know, I'll be like, what are you doing? You don't even know what you're doing. Is that even good? You know, why do I do that to myself? Like, no one else would do that to me but me. Yeah. You know, I don't think you talk to me like that or you would talk, you know, like we're just oftentimes really critical of ourselves.
Right. Yeah, and I just always feel like I am not the right person for this job. I've always felt that ever since day one. Even when I found out about this DJ job, I'm like, oh, no, I can't do that. Psh, you know, I'll never be able to do that, right? And then
I love listening to you.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
I think you've come a long way since you first started, too.
Well, I think so, too, but we're not going to talk about that first day because that day never happened. But, yay, thanks for listening, Margaret. But, yeah, I mean, like 5 years down the road, I still feel like, you know, this other person that's here kind of makes me feel like I'm so bad at the job, you know, and I'm bad because of the way I have to do things, because my brain works differently, you know?
Yeah.
I have to plan my stuff. I'm not an on-the-whim sort of person. And I feel like, why am I not like that? Why can't I be like that? But that's another thing, too. I have, like, a full laundry list of things, like, why I'm depressed. Another one being 40, and, like, I feel like I'm losing the looks.
Oh, girl, you know? Get real.
Dude, I do. I feel terrible. I feel, you know, I can't lose this weight, you know, although I haven't tried terribly hard lately, but it's just, it's not going anywhere. I don't want to work out, you know. I can't deal with these gray hairs. I can't deal with not feeling pretty. And I'm just like, what is life even right now?
Okay, hear me out. Have you ever thought about getting your hormones checked?
No.
Because we're, like, at that age where we probably need to.
So what does that do?
Also, like, well, do you go to your primary for that, or do they refer you?
No.
You got to go to a witch doctor.
Not necessarily.
I'm just kidding.
Hormone replacement therapy. And you can either do it, I mean, they have, like, medicine that you take by the mouth, or they have something called pellets, where they put whatever you need directly
pellets?
In, yeah, pellets.
But who is they?
There is a place, 417, gonna pull it out of my butt, I don't remember, it's 417 something or another, but they will test your hormones.
Okay.
But it's usually not covered by your insurance.
Of course.
Well, of course not. So do they draw blood or something?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what they do.
Hmm.
I've not had it done, but I am definitely looking into it because I'm right there with you.
So is this like the female equivalent of male low T? Do I have low E?
Low E.
You could have low T as well, which is probably what you are low on, honestly.
I have low T? Oh, God.
Probably. But it could be low E, too. I don't know. You got to go get tested.
You know what I do when I'm feeling kind of shitty like that?
What?
I make a list of things to do that are very attainable.
Mm-hmm.
And I accomplish them and mark them off. And I'm just like, look at me go.
But you know what? You know what's funny with that, though? I have to do that for work. See, like, this is my little Bible here. But, like, no. I have my daily, like, cross-off list. So for work, I do that. For home, not so much.
Except you're way more organized than me. Like, the list is literally just, like, in my head. I don't really write it down.
I couldn't remember if
like, check.
I can't remember stuff if I don't write it down.
I like writing it down and crossing it off, too. I don't trust myself. Like, I don't feel like I get enough sleep every night. I don't feel like oftentimes I have other things that I'm worried about or that are on my mind. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, if you do not write it down, there's no guarantee.
Well, you probably hold yourself more accountable once you're like, oh, hi.
Well, this is another sign of being neurodivergent, ADD.
Yeah.
I also just feel like I'm the only adult in my household. So it's like if I don't do it, it does not get done. You know,
well, technically you are.
Yeah.
So Lexi's not quite 18 yet.
I know, 2 months.
Oh, my God.
Wow. That's so crazy.
Holy crap.
Yeah, 2 months, she'll be 18, you guys.
Wow.
I can't even.
We're going to have a little get together and comfort you, aren't we?
Maybe. Yeah. I'm like really proud that she's still alive and like doing so good, but also like, you know, a little sad.
Yeah. Well, you did what you were supposed to. You kept her alive.
Yeah.
Good job.
And thriving.
Good job. You're a good mom.
Thank you.
But let's go to what Margaret said about neurodivergent. And this is just my thoughts. This is probably not a thing at all. But the words toxic, neurodivergent, and trauma. I don't like hearing them.
Why?
Anymore. Because they're buzzwords to me. Because it's, quote, I am doing the air things, trendy. That's what it feels like to me. Because you see it on TikTok, all these videos.
Yeah.
You know, you see these people talking about what it means to be neurodivergent and talk about all these depressive disorders. And you know these fools just read a Wikipedia article and just regurgitated it.
Or one of their friends therapists. Told them.
They're not therapists, right? But they're like, here's our list of neurodivergent symptoms, blah, blah, blah. If you have this, you're neurodivergent. It's like, you don't know me. You know?
I think everybody fits some of those things, too.
Yeah, I feel very attacked. But, you know, I just...
I think it's just more awareness is getting out there. These symptoms... Like, legit, I have ADD. Did I know it when I was a kid? No. Would it have helped knowing it as a kid? Fuck yeah. But there wasn't enough out there. I wasn't ADHD.
You're just ADD.
I wasn't hyper. Yeah. I didn't. Yeah. So it was totally undiagnosed. I just made it, you know, I slid by right under the radar.
Yeah.
You know, and I kind of feel like maybe I am too, because lately I have just I could not concentrate on anything. I still can't, you know. This is why I write things down.
Yeah.
To make sure I get it done for work at least. But yeah, growing up, it all kind of makes sense. Like I had a teacher actually hit me one time.
Well, that was allowed back
then. This was the 80s. Right? Yeah,
we were allowed to get hit by strangers.
Yeah, like I remember I was, he moved my desk up next to his so he can keep an eye on me because I'm in La La Land apparently. And I just happened to be daydreaming, looking at something on the wall. And all of a sudden I felt this big smack on the back of my neck. Just right in the class, just smack. And of course, you know, I cried. Yeah, yeah. And then he yelled at me.
I bet you learned so much that day.
Right.
Oh, God. That school was awful. But now it kind of makes sense. Like, I couldn't concentrate, you know? I had trouble in math. I can't concentrate, you know? It's like, well, shit, maybe I am ADD, minus the H.
I feel like it's been harder for me to stay focused, like, the older I get.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if it's, like, doing something that I don't want to do. It's like the doom boxes.
Yeah. So Margaret, you're saying this could be all hormones?
I do think it's all hormones.
Okay, so maybe we don't need ADD medicine. We just need extra hormones, hormone therapy?
I mean, possibly.
Oh, my God. What
if
that
actually... Not everybody needs medication for ADD. Not everybody needs it. It's just those, some people just need extra help to concentrate on stuff, but not everybody. I mean, people have master's degrees and are ADD without medication.
Yeah, it's because they took Adderall all through college.
No, without medication. maybe some medication.
Yeah, but, I didn't even think of hormones. What?
I think hormones are a big thing in our, 40s.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
Hmm.
You know what I think is wild? What? Like, if you tell a doctor, you know, hey, I'm depressed, or I feel this way, or I feel that way, almost every med that they'll put you on will contribute to you gaining weight.
Oh,
it's
God,
like, no. Why would you put somebody who's already depressed on something that's going to have them gain weight so that they could feel more depressed about gaining weight?
Maybe that's the system. Maybe that's how it's supposed to go.
I don't know.
Maybe that's how they make their money.
It's crazy to me because, like, if you have mental health issues in any capacity, it's very difficult sometimes to, especially I feel like where we live, to find a non-religious open-minded therapist that's a good match for you without a massive waiting list or not knowing somebody or just having the money because insurance doesn't cover.
Oh yeah, I've got a story about that too.
And I was just gonna say, like, and it's just wild to me, like, we medicate with medicines that aren't good for us, that create more issues, and then we don't really have any good solutions for people to find help, you know, just to speak to somebody without it being outrageously expensive.
Yeah, but yet, you know, mental health now is, like, big on the country's list of topics. You know, we're always talking about it now, but what are we going to do about it? Just make TikToks about being neurodivergent.
TikTok told me that I was autistic because I like to wear my earbuds whenever I go shopping and not look at people
and just listen
to music.
TikTok,
and I'm like, well, maybe... Maybe I am autistic. Yeah. Like, I don't like people. I do listen to music.
I have the diagnosis from Dr. TikTok.
Right.
But Yeah, dude, therapist, okay? So I decided that I needed to go. You know, I was going to take care of myself, my brain, all this and all that. Made an appointment with one because somebody had recommended this guy. Talk about the craziest experience ever. I go in there. He asked me, fill out a form, asked if I was sexually molested or whatever. And I'm like, I don't know. You know, I kind of recalled one time that was really weird with my uncle, but it really wasn't, you know, what you think of as, you know, rape or whatever. But he's like, well, how did that make you feel? I'm like, I don't know. I don't remember. How did that make you feel? Like, he was pressuring me. And I'm like, I don't know. I didn't like it, you know? And then he kind of, like, forced me to pretty much admit that I was a raped alcoholic.
Jeez.
I know. And I'm like, this guy sucks. And it's, like, not really the case at all, you know?
Ew.
I remember.
And you paid money for that.
I did, yeah.
Was he fishing to prescribe medication?
I have no clue, but this guy was intense, and I'm like, if you're trying to get me to say something that I don't really believe that I am, fuck you, you know?
Also, like, it really bothers me, and also, like, not everybody should be in their professions, mm-hmm. right? But it really bothered me, like, when I was, I want to say 11 or 12, I was forced to go to therapy. I probably needed it, mm-hmm. you know, but either way, I was being forced to go. And I had a very similar experience. I had somebody that was asking me about essay and trauma stuff and had wanted me to do a timeline because I have a lot of it. And I was like, are you kidding me right now? Like, why am I even here? If I could just openly talk about it and write about it on your whiteboard, what would I need you for? Right. And I was like, you're awful at your job. I'm leaving.
It's your job to make
and I left. I started walking home. Like, the therapist had to call my parents. I got in big trouble. But I'm like, what is this joker? Like, send me to somebody who's good at what they do and isn't going to ask me to talk about things that, like, in that capacity. Mm-hmm. When that's what I'm here for, right? Like, you should ease somebody into that. You should build some trust before you're like, hey,
right off the bat,
why don't you make this diagram on this huge whiteboard or whatever where everyone could see it about all your life. Like, right. Get out
show,
of here.
Show us on the doll where the man hurt you, right?
Yeah, like,
but on the whiteboard.
We don't have an established relationship in any capacity. Like,
I feel like therapists are, like, maybe they feel pressured to fast track it to figuring it out or something. Yeah. I don't know, because my experience for my child, whenever he was seeing several different therapists who all basically came to me and said, stop wasting your money. Don't bring him here anymore. Hmm. It was just like either they were lazy or they didn't. I don't know. I'm like, how is a 13-year-old boy outsmarting you? Number one.
Let's start
there. I
don't
know. Yeah. Like, are you a professional or are you not? I don't know. Anyway.
Maybe they weren't a good match, you know?
Well, yeah, he went to five different ones and they all told me the same thing.
Yeah, I had a friend tell me that finding a therapist is like trying on clothes.
We went to about seven.
wow.
And it was really difficult to find somebody. And it, we would find somebody maybe that we thought would be good, but we'd be on a waiting list. And then I got really lucky that somebody I know, one of his students, was specialized in the stuff that we were wanting or needing and seemed to be a good fit personality-wise.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so he talked to her and then, you know, she agreed to meet with us. And Lexa's been going to her for over a year and, like, loves her.
That's awesome. I had another therapist that I found that I really liked. She was actually my age.
Cool.
So she gets it, you know, mm-hmm. so I can, you know, kind of right. rap with her about, you know, how I feel because she gets it too. But the company, the place that she worked for, you know, I don't want to say the name out loud, right. but they canceled all my appointments because I had trouble paying my bill.
Oh.
Yeah. Because usually they call and like, hey, here's, you know, your reminder for your appointment. And they never called. And then I called them like, hey, what's going on with my appointment? Oh, you don't have any. I'm like, since when? You know? I guess it's fine because I, you know, couldn't pay it, whatever. Right. But it's not fine because I need it, you know?
Right. That's so helpful.
Yeah. So I was like, well, that sucks. That kind of burns me on that. But yeah, can't afford therapy, you know, so I'm just going to sit at home and just be a sad, depressed banana. You know?
Well, therapy is very expensive.
It's stupid expensive, you know? Yeah.
And it's really hard. My understanding is that it's very hard for the therapist to just get insurance for all of that to get worked out. Like, I have a couple friends that do that as a profession, and it's a lot of hoops just to get a place, which is why a lot of them don't take it.
That's so dumb.
It's dumb for everybody involved. Yeah, it's dumb for the patient or the parents of the patient, and it's dumb for the therapist because a lot of people can't pay $80 an hour. Right. You know?
Yeah. It's just dumb that, you know, mental health is on the topic of the world, you know, but nothing's being done about it. It's a vicious cycle. It's just going to go round and round and round, you know. People are going to shoot up schools, keep doing that, you know, and
hopefully that will change. Like, as certain people stop voting and other people start, I'm gonna try to keep it optimistic. Like, yeah, maybe in the future that will be a little different.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I kind of always think that, you know, we're always going to be damned if you do and damned if you don't.
I don't know. I definitely think in my short 45 years alive, I never thought I would sit through some of the presidents that we've had or experience some of the stuff that I saw on television. Yeah. I just could not imagine hearing people say stuff or seeing things like that. And other generations that will be voting are experiencing the same things that we are, but at a much younger age. And I'm hopeful that, you know, they won't want to continue that. Mm-hmm. That they will want to do something about it because they grew up with school shootings. Mm-hmm. You know, when we were little, what? We had tornado lockdowns?
Yeah.
Where they were like, duck your head down while you talk to your friends in the hallway. Like, if we really had a tornado, we'd all die, you know?
Yeah, duck and cover in California.
And, right. Yeah. And that's like one of our biggest traumas. Right. They have all kinds of stuff. Right. Like, it's just a different time.
Well, I think it's interesting to think about other countries. And of course, you know, there are a lot of other countries that have it a lot worse than we do. But yes, there are countries that seem to have it,
they handle it
a hell
smarter
of a lot more figured out than we do, too.
Yeah, they handle it smarter.
But they're
also
smaller countries. You know, I'm just like, maybe take it back way old school. I'm like, should we have been this large of a country? Like, is what's good for the East Coast good for the West Coast?
Right.
I don't even know anymore at this point.
Isn't that what Trump was wanting to do?
I don't even know, y'all.
Separate the states like that? Have East and West America?
But well, it just seems like, you know, some of these smaller European countries, they're just like so peaceful and happy. And I get that they're, you know, managing a much smaller group of citizens, but also,
well,
like,
it's probably because their healthcare is free, their college is free.
Yeah,
like, they don't have a whole lot to worry about.
They don't let everybody have guns. Yeah, like, they handle things a lot different.
Right.
I also think too, though, like, social media is constantly in your face, and most people, not all, but most people, are not posting about their bad day or feeling depressed. They're only posting highlights of good things that they're doing that are cool, like when they look good. We're not seeing them like the gas station person sees them, you know. we're seeing their good day, and we constantly have like all this perfection and all of the stuff being put in our face. And especially for the little kids too, it's like, it's so easy to ruin somebody's life in like a minute, you know, with your phone. When we were younger, you had to work for that.
Right.
You know, you had to find them and kick their booty by the stairs after school. Like, you had to pass notes, you know.
Exactly. Well, I saw an article that said, I guess it was from the Surgeon General. I didn't really read it. I just kind of saw the headline saying that social media is bad for kids.
It is.
And it's totally bad. Especially bad for 13-year-old
absolutely
kids. Like,
it's
they should not and cannot be on it, you
it's
know?
Unrealistic expectations of what you should look like and what you should be like and what you should accomplish. And you know, everybody's different, they're all on their own paths. It's a lot of pressure at very early age because a lot of kids have phones early. Maybe they need them, maybe they don't. I don't know, whoever's circumstance. But it gives you a gateway into a lot of stuff that maybe you should learn about a little bit older.
Mm-hmm. Right. But, you know, I'm looking at social media and I don't really see. Okay. Let me go back. So when you go on Instagram, right? And remember when Instagram started, you had all those influencers, all those girls, you know, showing off this product and wearing these clothes and being like the spokesperson for that brand or whatever. And then a lot of these people were like, bitch, you didn't go to Paris. You know, that's a green screen. And you know, they found all these people out, right? So I think we kind of have that in our heads now. It's like, okay, you know, oh, you're showing me a nice fancy plate of something from somewhere in Abu Dhabi. Okay, you're probably fake, you know. That's what I think about it. It's like, I think it's all fake. So I don't let it get to me.
Yeah, but I think like if you were 11 or 12 or 13 and you're very sheltered, you have a lot of money, your parents work all the time, mm-hmm. you know, and you don't know better and you're sitting there scrolling.
Right.
After somebody called you ugly at school, you know, or you had a bad day, it's like, would your perspective be that way? You know, you and I grew up, we all grew up like in a different time with a different perspective, you know?
Right. I don't know what I would have done if we were like kids' age now.
No.
With all this stuff.
Absolutely not. I also wonder like how many people are real and how many people are AI bots.
Oh, God. Well, it looks like this episode is running a little bit long. We'll continue the conversation in part 2.